Okay, we turn to John, chapter 3. Now, I want you to look at verse 3 and verse 5.
Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God."
You know this born again can also mean born from above, from God, born from above. Okay? So this is a dialogue between Jesus and the person called Nicodemus. So this person is the ruler of the king. So he came to Jesus by night to inquire the true identity of God. And instead, Jesus told him the way to be saved. So that's why Jesus said, unless one is born again, or unless one is born from above, born of God, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, if you look at verse 5, Jesus answered, "More surely I said to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, obviously this person didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. Yeah? He mistook it to be, going back to the mother's womb to be born again. Actually, that is not what Jesus meant. Now, so Jesus explained, one has to be born of water, and has to be born of the spirit. There are two requirements, very important requirements. Now, I think to understand this, to be born from above, meaning from God. So, meaning this rebirth is the word of God. It's done through God, and it's done by God. So it's not man's work. I think this section of the clear, of this understanding. Okay? That's what you find this in some Christians. Take this very much. They simply claim that, "Oh, I'm born again, I'm born again." But if God has not done the work on me, then how can I be born again? You understand what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? So we bear this in mind for the time being. We come back to that, how God is going to do it on us. So when you look at verse 5, two elements involved. Born of water, we know that this is the water baptism. And the other one is receiving of the Holy Spirit. And we may question, hey, when we talk about water baptism, is that not done by man? You understand what I'm saying? Like, baptism is administered by man. I like to say baptism. It's not by me. But how is it that if it's born again is born of God, is born from God, is the word of God. We're going to that a bit later. Okay. Now, so because I think we will split this into two parts. One is baptism and the other one is Holy Spirit. Yeah? Okay. Now, what I want to do now is I want you to first read the First Peter. Chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. Okay. Now we read verse 3. Chapter 1 is 3. Now, blessed be the God Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten, actually born again, begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, we find that this born again is connected to the resurrection of Jesus. That's why we do not believe that it's a symbol or it's a ritual, because it's closely connected to the resurrection of Jesus. This is what we do say, okay? Okay, now the third chapter, I want to read in verse 23. Now, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, what is this incorruptible seed? Because Peter said, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. And some people say this refers to the word of God. But if you look at this verse 23, yeah, the second part actually talks about the word of God. Right? So this incorruptible seed must be referring to a person. Why? Because in Galatians, when you talk of Galatians, you know Paul mentioned not seed, but the seed, referring to Jesus. Is it also? Remember that? And we can calculate, no? Chapter 3. We look at verse 16, no? Chapter 3, 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He does not say, and to seed as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Okay, now, can you see now? Born again is connected to the resurrection of Jesus, and it has to be done through Christ. Can you see? That's why I said born from Christ. So, baptism is not a ritual, that's for sure. Okay? Alright, now we can look at Mark 16.
Mark chapter 16, verse 16. The Bible reads, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.
Yeah, okay, quite clearly it says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Right, now just now we already mentioned, born again, there are two crucial elements, one is water baptism, the other one is receiving the wisdom. Right? So now we focus on water baptism. Now, no wonder Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Right? Because baptism is the work of God. If this work is done on us, then we are saved. We are
saved.
Yes, we are what now? We are born. We are born. Meaning spiritually speaking. Okay? Now, so, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, I want to read that first Peter. Chapter 3. But read and look at this. Look at verse 21. Verse 21.
Will you give 1 Peter chapter 3? Verse 21. The Bible reads, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the guilt of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Just now we read, born again is connected to the resurrection of Christ. Chapter 1 verse 2, remember? Yeah? And here can you see baptism is also connected to the resurrection of Jesus. Can you see the connection? Huh? That's why when Jesus said, born again consists of two elements. It's not without support. There is support. So if you want to be born again, yeah, you must go through the resurrection of Jesus. Right? And that can only be done through baptism. You understand what I'm saying? Right? That's what Peter said, baptism now saves. Right? Depends on your own. We look at chapter 6. The whole process of teaching, eh? We look up on the sea. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into the death? Verse 4. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead for the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Now, verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the minds of the resurrection. See that? Resurrection is the final part of it. So when we rise up from the resurrection, we participate in the resurrection. Okay. Can you see that? That's why when we talk about the birth is the work of God, okay. It is simply because we are going through the death, the burial, and the resurrection as well. Understand what I'm saying? Huh? No. Okay. By going through that, according to Peter, we are saved. How does he save us? I want to read the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Read verse 38. Acts chapter 2 verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let everyone of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the chapter 2.
2 verse 38.
You want to read?
And Peter said to them, repent and let everyone of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
For the
remission of sins.
That's why when your sins are forgiven, then you have sinned. Today we cannot be saved because we have sinned. Is it not so? Yeah? Yeah. So you find that this work of removing sin has to be done by God. That's why I said it's the birth from the top. You get what I'm saying? Alright? But the thing is, before I come to that, we need to ask a very important question. Baptism forgives sin. How does baptism forgive sin? Before I talk about the Holy Spirit, I want to understand when a person, let's say I'm a criminal, I committed a lot of offense, but if I'm dead, then all these offenses can no longer be charged upon me, you know, because I'm dead. Yeah? But now, so today for us to flee from sin, we must be dead in Christ. Dead to sin and be buried in the banner of Christ. We are dead already, so when we come up in baptism, we are a new person. So, what? The law cannot charge us. We are free from sin. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? That's the reason why we need to get baptized. But now I want to read chapter 22 of that. We read verse 16.
The 16 reads, now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord.
Yeah. Therefore we counted his own conversion, how he came to believe, yeah? And the practice here, is anonymous. So he said to you, this poor, this soul at the time, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins. So, without baptism, your sin can never be removed, because you go through the process of being dead, being buried, and being raised. That's why you said it's the word of God. You get what I'm saying? But, now, having said that, you know baptism, how were you baptized?
It's a place to be
like, so immersed into the water. Like facing up?
Yes, you do like this and then hold it.
Oh. Go down. I know you kiss here.
Yes.
Face up, yeah. That's how in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But you people in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Okay. Now I'll brief people through it. Yeah? Because this is the process. I'm thinking if you want to go through a process, you need to follow strict procedures, right? Yeah? Otherwise the process will not be effective. Yeah? So you follow strict procedures. So the mode of baptism is like procedure set for you to follow. No one can change it. Because this is prescribed by God, so you must go through it. Yeah? Because this heavenly thing, you know, no one has the right to change it or to say, oh, you should, you know, change it to suit our peace. You can't do that, yeah? Okay. Now, I want to read Ephesians, huh? Chapter 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. But today, you can tell, you will tackle this kind of problem. Even among the church, there are two types of two baptism. Is there anything? And if I come in, that's three.
Sorry.
Is there also, if you grab another Christian?
Do before. Even the five.
Yes. But the Bible says one. You understand what I'm saying? So you find that Christians loosely follow the procedure. Now if that's the case, then how can it be said? You cannot be said. Because heavenly thing. You cannot. To me, you cannot joke with it. It's so serious. We're talking about salvation here. Like even Paul says there's only one baptism. But that's why I said you put two similar, different, two different baptisms in the name of the Father, Son, and in the name of Jesus. But he said, well, when we come in, this way, don't say it. Is it also?
It is.
Three. So, it's like Christians put it this way. Christians are changing the world as well. There's only one, but when we come together, there are three. You know, have you heard of this ecumenism? The joining of all Christians together and forget about the differences in doctrine or whatever. Mm-hmm. We are Christian, we believe in the same God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Huh? But yeah, we come together, but before I talk about this, I want to read the verse. We turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We read verse 16.
Verse 16 reads, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. them also I must pray, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd.
Oh. Here we are. Does Jesus want all Christians to be together? My answer is yes. He wants us to be together. But there's a condition attached. What is the condition? And they will hear my
voice.
And the voice of Jesus refers to the teaching of the scriptures. Yeah. So if everyone here hears his voice, then we can come together as one flock. Then one shall be under the care, the pastoral care of Jesus Christ. But today, that's why, you know, to me Satan is so tricky. He said, yeah, come together, we are Christian. But disregard, you know, doctrinal differences. No, Jesus said, no, you must hear my voice. Yes. Can you see now? You know, ecumenism only follow the first one, but disregard the second. Right? That's why if Christians want to come together, we have to listen to the voice of Jesus and see what he has to say. Okay? So that's why coming back, one baptism. But now there are three. What are we going to do? Can we just say, oh, forget it. Now let's come together. No, we can't. Yes. You know, by having three is against the Bible. What? Okay. Now, that's why we talk about the mode. The mode is the procedure you must follow. You know, if you have been working on a certain machine, you need to follow strict procedure. You can't show. Follow your way through. Okay, now, the first thing, we said we must baptize in the name of Jesus. Okay? We read Acts chapter 2 first. Acts chapter 2, read 38, yes? Repent and let every one of you be baptized in what name?
Name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, obviously you question me, what about in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? But now, for anyone who knows English, you see that the name is in the same way. Singular, meaning the three titles share the same name. If there are three different persons, then the name has to be in plural. In the names. Let's say three of us, in the names of you, me and mine, should be names, isn't it? But here it says, in the name, meaning one name. Okay. Now, that's why when you read Matthew, yeah, you see the word name, but you also need to look at Luke. The Gospel of Luke and see what it says about the name. But now we turn to chapter 24. So, read verse 47. To understand verse 47, the name, we read verse 46. Okay, this is what Jesus said. Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ, who is Christ? Jesus. Okay. To suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, 47, and then repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. His name is that?
Jesus.
Can you see that? Whose name is that? He was talking about Christ, isn't it? Just now I asked you a question, who is Christ? Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
And so in his name? Jesus. Is it also? Okay. Now, so, because the apostle actually understood what Jesus meant. Right? That's why when they baptized in the name of Jesus. Because even Jesus himself talked about his own name. But the only like confusion, so-called confusion, yeah, in Matthew is because of the three titles given, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. is father a name?
No.
You are father to your children. Is husband a name?
No.
You're the husband to your wife. And you are also a son to your father. So son, husband, father. So is that your name?
Mm-hmm.
No. One person is three roles. Is it not so? So the name is Jesus. And also, because the apostles were given the understanding and wisdom to explain the name of Jesus. That's why when they... Okay, if you look at Matthew is the instruction, right? And Acts of the Apostles is the actual practice of this instruction.
Yeah.
Is it also?
That's what the Acts.
Yes, the actual practice of baptism. Right? So, they baptize people in the name of Jesus. Yes. Right. We read the verse, eh? Acts chapter 4. We read the verse 10 to verse 12.
Let it be known to all, to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you all. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
So which name is it talking about? Name of Jesus. Judging from the So we baptize people in the name of Jesus. In fact, when you read Acts chapter 2, in the name of Jesus. Chapter 8, in the name of Jesus. Baptism. But now, the second point is, when you are baptized, you need to bow your head, bowing down your head. Okay? Now, I want you to first read, you look at this, John. This is John first. Chapter 19.
So when Jesus has received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head, he gave up his spirit.
Okay, now look at this very carefully. While bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Not bowing. You know, John, the book of John is a mysterious book. It's a very compactly written book, meaning, you know, it's like this book talks about things which are things of absolute essential, right? Like, I want you to read the chapter
20, John 20, verse 25. Yeah. John chapter 20,
verse 25.
The Bible reads,
Chapter 21, verse 25.
Okay. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written.
Okay, now, so bowing his head is one of the important things that has been written down. So it's not just like a thing which is not very important, a side issue, you know. Judging from John, you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So when you look at it, he said, bowing his head, and then he gave up his spirit. That's the posture, that's the likeness. Or you must be joined in the death of Jesus, in that likeness. Right? Now this is what Paul says. We turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we read verse 5. Huh? For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly also we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, 2 points here. Yeah. First, you must be joined in that likeness of his death. Secondly, only then you can have this resurrection of Christ. Just now we mentioned that born again, it has to do with the resurrection of Jesus. Yeah? So you can imagine, if you're not united in the first point, in the first place, in the likeness of his death, do you think you have a chance to be raised? No.
No.
Just like, I'm here in the room because I come through the door. Simple as that. If I have not come through, if I don't go through the door, I don't think I can come in. Is it also? But likewise, if you want to have that, eventually being raised with Christ, then the first part of your process must be right. The starting point must be right.
So
you bow your head according to the scriptures. Okay? Now, even bowing head is a sign of humility. I'm a sinner, I'm not worthy. No, I'm not even worthy to come to join you. I bow my head in repentance. You repent in this way. No, yeah. You know one of the parables of Christ, you know the tax collector, when he prayed, the Bible says, beating his breast, and then he did not even dare to lift up his hands. But the sign of being very remorseful over one sin. Okay? Today we do the same in baptism, because we are talking about forgiveness of sin. It's very powerful. Right? Now, and also it means that we are willing to die to sin, because Jesus showed us our sin and he died for us because of our sin. So we go through that process. We bow our head. Right? Meaning we are willing to submit to the will of God by dying in sin. By dying to sin. Okay? So we bow our head. Right? Now, actually, to be honest about this, you find that, yeah? Jesus actually is God in the flesh. You know, on one occasion, people tried to push him over the cliff. They couldn't. He just walked past them. That's in the Gospel of Luke. Yeah. We can look at that, right? Chapter 4. Now, if you read from verse 28, yeah, you know, people heard this thing were filled with wrath, very angry. Verse 29, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and then led him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Now, 30, then passing through the midst of them, he went away. No one can, even the whole gang, yeah, you know, came together trying to throw him over the cliff, they could not. Right? Now, that's why we also believe that when he was on the cross, actually no one can kill him. Right? Now, I want you to read chapter 10, John. Now, verse 18, eh? John chapter 10, verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down for myself. My power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. The command I have received from my Father. No one takes it. Can crucifixion takes?
No.
So bowing his head is a sign of
laying down his life. Willingly he laid down, and that's why the Bible says he gave up his spirit. So the Father had him back from him. Right? Okay. The third point is, you know, that all of you will submit into the water in the thing. Okay, there's no problem. Baptism means immersion. Yeah? And baptism is a burial. Can we just read the verse to confirm that? Colossians chapter 2. Now, buried with him in baptism. Can you see now? Buried with him in baptism, in burial. How do you bury your dead? Covered with earth, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah, fully covered, isn't it? It's quite unlikely that a certain part of the body is uncovered. Not possible. That is not burial, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you cover everything. That is burial. Is it not so?
Yeah.
Yeah? 2:12.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, there's not a problem. Now, the fourth point is, yeah, the last point concerning the procedure is, if you look at all the baptism done in the Old New Testament, they are all done in flowing natural sources of water. Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. You know the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8? Right? They were journeying along a desert road, and when Philip, you know, having preached to him, he decided to get baptized. And there is water. What can stop him from getting baptized? For the baptized. Where can you find water in the desert?
Oasis. Oh, this is great. Natural source of water.
Okay? Now, John the Baptist baptized people in Canyon, where there is much water. Much water. Okay? Now, so this is fourth point, we must baptize in the living natural source. Were you baptized in the river?
Yes.
River?
In the pond.
Again, it's different. Baptizing. Just to clarify this, I want to read Micah. Old Testament scriptures, huh, Micah? Chapter 7. We read the verse 19.
He will again have compassion on us, and will subdue our iniquities. He will cast all our sins into the depth of the sea.
Okay. Cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You see, all the natural sources of water eventually end up flowing out into the sea. Like lake, like rivers, you know, they'll flow out. And so this is a prophetic message concerning how God will deal with the sin of man. But it's a procedure for people. Now, in the question, why are we so stringent about it? So legalistic, some people say very legalistic. But we understand that this is the what? This is the way that God has shown us. Yeah? It's not about being legalistic or being stringent, but rather it's being what? Being submissive. You know, if we are submissive, then we will not question. And if I'm not willing to submit, obviously I will question. Now, the important thing is, does the Bible talk about this? The Bible does. Is it also? Yeah? But that's really a 4 point. Now, the last one, which is the baptism itself. If I'm a Baptist, because like what we said from the very beginning, this rebirth is a divine task. It's a spiritual thing. Now, so I'm a Baptist. Let's add the form baptism on you. But according to the Bible, the Spirit must be there. The Spirit must be there to do the work. Right? That's why you find that there are two sides, yeah? Two levels to the baptism that forgives sin. One is the physical side, meaning On our part, we must be obedient. And on the part of God, God must be present in baptism to forgive our sins. Right? Now, I want you to read John chapter 20. We read verse 22 and 23. John 20:22 and 23.
The Bible reads, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit.
23.
If you forgive the sins of them, they are forgiven them. If you return the sins of them, they are returned.
Okay, so Jesus said to them that they must receive the Holy Spirit so that they can forgive sin. Today, the church has the power to forgive sin. It's not because of people. It's not because of them. Because of the Holy Spirit. Now, how does the Holy Spirit grant or how is the church vested with this authority to forgive when the church follows what the Bible teaches? Then the church has the power to forgive. Yeah? Now, so when the church follows exactly what the Bible teaches, it means that the Holy Spirit is with the church. Then the church can forgive. It's not that, someone is so great and he can forgive. No. Mm. That's all he said, it's the work of God. So rebirth is the work of God. Huh? Okay, now, I want you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But we read verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Can you see that? This is water baptism. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into
one
body. So, without the Spirit, can I be part of the body of Christ? No way. Okay? You can follow the procedure strictly, but without the Spirit, you still cannot be part of the body of Christ. Right? Meaning, without the power that is God Himself, to help you get entry into the body of Christ, you can never be part of it. That's why we believe that baptism is not something, it's not a symbol or it's not a ritual. It is the work that God wants to do on us, to save us. That's why the Spirit must be present. Okay, any questions?
Any question? I don't know. I just need a bit of clarity on we have read that Jesus Christ, when he was dying on the cross of Calvary, he bowed down with him. He said it is finished. And we've been made to understand the things. The baptism is this. You die with Christ. You are buried with Christ. Then you are raised with Christ. Then you ushered us to say, to baptism, you need to bow down. That is a symbol, yes, to say you have died with Christ.
There's the likeness.
It's like you die like this, you bow like this. That's a symbol to say you have died on the cross like Jesus Christ.
You're willing to die.
But where is the part where I say we are buried? Because I'm sure if we are to follow that, you say you have to bow down like this, then you lie down. Because I'm sure to buy someone, definitely you have to put them down.
Okay. I think if the Muslim, for example, the Muslim, how do they bury their dead? How does a Jew bury their dead?
That's why Jesus was put in the tomb.
But it's not like, you know, like we put into a coffin like this. No, it's straight down. So the burial thing means you need to be covered with water. That's it. Okay? So, even you say when you go this way, okay? Even you go this way, both your feet, I believe, is still on the riverbed or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's not flat like this. That's what I said. If you want to, the important point is the lightness of the perspective. Bow your head into the wall. That's the. Okay? What is underneath inside the barrel we cannot see? We know that Jesus is into a tomb covered by a stone. Mm-hmm. It's different from us, though. We put the coffin down and cover it. That's the.
Maybe I just wanted to add on the question you asked about the name. Why in the name of Jesus instead of the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? As we were saying, Father is not the name, Son is not the name. These are just titles. And there's a scripture which is attached to that, is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Maybe you can just read it. You compare that one with me. When you write it, you just write Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and then you add it with the Matthew 28, verse 19, they go together. So, you be able to understand what is the name of the Father, what is the name of the.
Isaiah chapter 19.
In chapter 9.
9 verse 19.
9 verse 6. 6.
Okay.
The son is given, and
the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Okay, just there. You have read that the Bible is saying, he will be called. We are being given what? A son. And that is the name of the son. Now, if you read this scripture very carefully, you'll find that there is someone they are talking about, whom they are saying the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful
Counselor.
And the Holy Spirit is the Counselor. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
When you receive the Holy Spirit, is the Counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And he is also called Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And do you know whom the prophet is talking about?
Prince of Peace.
Who is this one?
Jesus Christ.
It's Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the Son, is the Father, and is the Holy Spirit. These are just the titles. That's why Jesus is called God. You cannot push away Christ from being God. God manifested in the flesh. He just came in the flesh. As a Son. Yes, for sure we say Jesus is the Son, but now, is it wrong to call him a son? No. He was a son because he was born from the woman.
Mm-hmm.
But now, in the actual sense, he's God himself manifested in the flesh. So I just wanted to add on that one, that shouldn't be confused. Anyway, if you follow the Bible very carefully, no one was ever baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Never. He just commanded them to, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. Even as you are doing for myself. Yes. So when they were putting things in brackets, that's when they realized that to say, which is this name? Oh, this is Jesus.
Maybe just to assist the second point, the model of baptism. Yes, you know, according to what the preacher did. Many people or many churches so far have been baptizing some in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, others in the name of Jesus, and yet backward, which is not corresponding with the likeness of Jesus Christ. To believe baptized in the likeness of his name. Why do the baptism? baptism to unite us together. So if we need to unite together of Christ, we need to unite with Him in His likeness of death, how He died upon the cross of Calvary. Then second, then we shall be unite, we shall be united in the likeness of His resurrection. So the proper baptism, somebody should bow his head. Why are we bowing our head in baptism? Psalms chapter 40, verse 12. Psalms chapter 40, verse 12.
Innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up.
A sinful person who has committed something which is evil cannot look up. It means I'm guilty. I am seeking for forgiveness. When I'm coming before my Father, I need to humble myself, bow the head. The same as Luke chapter 18. This is the parallel. Start from verses 10. Start reading from verse 10 up to verse 14. Verse 10, the Bible reads, two men went up to the temple, one a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed that with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Verse 12, I fast twice a week. I give tithes all of all that I possess. 13, and the tax collector, that's the thing, and the tax collector, stand up not so much as his eyes to heaven. The key raised his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So in baptism, when we bow our heads, it's a symbol of humility. We humble ourselves before him. I am a sinner. There is no need for me to raise my eyes. Come out from the altar, it means that's the smoke, resurrection, a new life.
Understood, it's clear.
Being born of the Spirit?
No! The one I just was talking about.
Being born of water.
Being born of water.